Hello and good morning. You may be seated. Well, it's great to see you all today. My name is Brenna O'Connor. I am a parishioner here at the Cathedral. And recently, I have been appointed by Bishop Dion to be the LGBTQIA+ missioner for the Diocese of Missouri. So over the coming months, I will be working to help gather resources and lead some initiatives to help gender and sexual minorities throughout the diocese. So last month, Dean Kathy asked if I would be interested in preaching this Sunday. And I said yes. I was very excited at the offer and accepted. But since I've accepted, a whole lot's been going on in the world, and my heart's really hurting. So this sermon will begin in an unusual way, but I promise if you stick with me, we will come back to the same place. We will affirm how the love of God through Jesus Christ will redeem the world. So I want to begin by asking this question. Did Jesus laugh? The Bible says that Jesus wept, Jesus ate, Jesus bled, Jesus even sweats blood. But did Jesus laugh? It seems like a silly question, but I think this has a profound meaning for our understanding of God. Did God intend to have humor as part of creation? Think about all the things that make us laugh. Misunderstandings, pain, shortcomings, miscommunication, disappointments. Can these things be holy? I say yes. And if there's a place in the Gospels where Jesus laughed, I think it's in this morning's Gospel reading. Jesus is warned that King Herod would want to have him killed. And how does Jesus respond? He snaps back at the Pharisees. Go tell that fox, I am casting out demons and performing cures. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, a city that stones its prophets and those sent to it. So two quick things for context. This is not the King Herod of the Nativity story. This is his son. And second, when Jesus calls him a fox, he's not saying that he's clever. He's saying that foxes in rabbinical law are unclean animals. So this is a kind of a nasty thing Jesus is saying about King Herod. But it's for those reasons I cannot read this passage without imagining Jesus rolling his eyes, crossing his arms, and laughing. He has a death warrant. And he turns around to tell them where he is going to be for the next few days, casting out demons, being with the poor, not playing by the rules. It's just like Bugs Bunny chomping on a carrot in front of Elmer Fudd pointing a gun right at him. But after getting in this barb about King Herod in the city of Jerusalem, Jesus affirms his divinity. And I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Of course, Jesus was laughing. So, the Italian author and literary scholar Umberto Eco explored this idea, did Jesus laugh, in his 1980 novel, The Name of the Rose, which was turned into a movie with Sean Connery a few years later. The story is a murder mystery set in a medieval monastery. And in one scene, there's an argument that breaks out between the monks whether laughter is sinful or not. So one monk argues that laughter is coarse, it's immature, it distorts the face, it's a crackling of monkeys, it's not dignified for a human being. But another monk argues, well, we see humor all the time in the lives of the saints, especially as they challenge those around them. I agree with this, especially as true humility doesn't look like being beating yourself up so much as it involves not taking yourself quite as seriously. When we laugh at our missteps, in a way, we are remembering the goodness of the Lord, whom I am confident is smiling upon us as we learn and grow. But here's where we take a darker turn. I mean, it is Lent after all. While Umberto Eco wrote a number of novels, he is perhaps best known now for an essay he wrote called The 14 Points of Fascism. As a child under Mussolini's rule, Eco grew up in a fascist state and would later go on to write about how fascism isn't a specific coherent political movement, but really it's more of a mindset that can emerge in all kinds of circumstances. The essay is a lot to go over, but the general theme is the fascist has contempt for the weak, idolizes heroism, believes that there is a mythic past that we need to return to, that modern life has been corrupted by some kind of treasonous enemy, and that this enemy is both paradoxically strong and weak. The enemy is so weak that we, the superior ones, can defeat them. But yet the enemy is so strong, they are single-handedly conspiring against us, and they are behind the decline of our nation, our people, and our culture. They have a secret plot, and we must be as savage as possible to defeat them. I find this analysis chilling because I see pieces of this kind of thinking everywhere. How often do we think in terms of heroes and villains? How often do we pine for a return to the past where allegedly everything was better? Do we think that there's a natural order to the world that's being violated by our neighbors? That our culture, our country, is being overwhelmed by degenerates? There is no humor in the fascists' world. There's only a grand fixation on violence, contempt, honor, heroism, conflict, and service unto death. Look at every fascist state, from Nazi Germany to Italy, Franco's Spain, Pinochet's Chile, Marcos's Philippines. It's a rule of military leaders, and there's almost always a purging of artists, researchers, writers, and humorists. Because humor challenges power. We might be taken aback about how Jesus calls somebody a name, but remember who Christ is addressing. King Herod, a local authority, someone of Christ's same Jewish heritage who sided with the Roman colonial rule and cared more about maintaining his place in the power structure than serving his people. Jesus follows up by identifying Jerusalem, the holy city, the capital and power center of Palestine, as a place that kills its prophets. In laughter, we can acknowledge our pains. We can see the emotional truths that are hard to state out loud and recognize how many things go against our expectations. Notice what fascism wants: a return to a mythic version of the past. But throughout the Bible, we are not called to a mythic version of the past. We're called to move forward with God. God makes promises with us, but often in ways that surprise us. In the Genesis reading, God doesn't promise to Abraham, still Abram in the text, a return to the Garden of Eden. He grants a covenant to a promised land, a new land where he will guide us. There's also something a bit humorous in the reading, too. When God tells Abraham to look to the heavens and count the stars, it's daytime. It says that night doesn't come for a few more hours in the text. So Abraham literally cannot count all the stars. That's how many descendants he will have. Abraham really did enter this covenant in faith. Humor forces us to reconsider our expectations. And I have to admit, these are really hard times. I'm not sure what to expect anymore, and it doesn't feel like there's a lot to laugh about. I've been so depressed about climate change for years as we continue to plunder our environment without considering future generations. This week marks 2 years since the World Health Organization declared COVID-19 a pandemic. And in the United States, so much of the language that I've heard around this pandemic has been fascist. Only the weak will die. I will be fine because I have a good immune system. This is all a big conspiracy. I am strong, and they are weak. An invasion of Ukraine seems to pine for a mythic version of the past of a united Slavic state. Civil wars in Burma and Yemen haven't gotten the same media attention, but it's the same story. Bill after bill after bill keep coming out, targeting transgender youth throughout the United States. Governor Abbott of Texas, in the past 2 weeks, issued an executive order declaring that allowing youth to have access to transgender health care is child abuse, and children can and will be separated from their parents. Iowa cruelly banned transgender girls from sporting events, singling them out for ostracization. Idaho's House of Representatives chamber just this past week passed a bill which makes giving life-giving transgender health care to youth a felony offense. This is on top of punitive measures against reproductive health in Texas and Missouri. And all I can think about is Echo's 14 points. We tell a story where there is an enemy. This enemy is a threat to our way of life, and we believe that we are empowered to do everything we can to exterminate this threat. The cruelty is the point. The story is sin. The story is death. But we are Christians, and we have a different story. We have a story where God's wisdom doesn't look the way that we think it would be. It's a story of flipped expectations, like the best comedians. Sarah laughs at God when she finds out that she is to have a child, and yet she conceives at an old age. Joseph, the effeminate and eccentric son of Jacob, is sold into slavery, but becomes second only to the Pharaoh. Ruth, a Gentile, is the one who begins the line of King David. Jonah runs away from God, but when he finally makes it to Nineveh and preaches, the entire city converts. Is there anything good that can come out of Nazareth? Nathaniel jokes to Philip. Let me not minimize this. We are in difficult times. But let us get in our digs at the King Herods of the world. Let us respond to the insincere naysayers who tell us that we are abusing our children by giving them the necessary health care they need. Let us respond to the insincere naysayers who value the price of gasoline over the lives of our Ukrainian siblings. Let these naysayers tell us that we will be arrested, and then let us laugh at them and say, "You will find us today, tomorrow, and the rest of the week, casting out demons. The demons of transphobia, patriarchy, racism, nationalism, science denial, and environmental ruin. You will find us, and we will be laughing, because we do this out of love and not out of fear. We laugh because you expected us to fold to fear, but instead we drew nearer to the work that God has given us to do. And really, this is just the beginning. As Jesus has already celebrated the greatest laugh in all of the gospel, the one that we will be sharing in a few weeks from now on Easter, that one day we will all be together in love, and we will say, Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Amen.